Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. From historic buildings to locally owned shops, small towns offer a sense of community and connection to the past. However, the loss of business and decreasing population are more noticeable than in a big city. One example of a struggling small town was Belle Fountain, about 40 miles northwest of Columbus. Small Nation, a real estate development company located in Belle Fountain, has made it an example of how a small town can revive, grow, and thrive. Joining us now to tell us how they make this happen is Small Nation leasing and property manager Kane Strickland. Welcome to All Sides, Kane.
Thanks, Amy.
So we were just describing Small Nation as a real estate development company. Is that accurate, or is that what you do?
Yeah, I mean, from the grassroots, we're a real estate development company. We invest in places, spaces, and dreams for small towns and entrepreneurs. But you can think of us as a consulting company, as a marketing company. We've got a few different facets that we operate under.
Where did the name come from? Why do you call yourself Small Nation?
Yeah, well, you know, when we look back at the roots, we're a small town in a small community, and we felt that small towns are the lifeblood of America. You know, 90% of small businesses make up a lot of the businesses in the country, and we wanted to really dive into that. So we're small but mighty. We've got a team of 14 people, not a big group, but we do a lot of work, and we work really hard.
Define a small town for me. What does the population have to be?
Yeah, so we're 14,000 people. We think of a small town of anything under 50,000 people. Mm. I would be kind of considered a small town. Think of the Marysville, 26,000 people. Belle Fountain's at 14, so almost half of that. And Marysville is considered large to us. So,
okay, yeah. It's all about comparison, right?
Yeah.
So you basically, I was saying that you helped turn around Belle Fountain. It was the first major small town that you helped to turn around. Tell me about what you did and what does it mean to turn it around?
Yeah, so if you go back in time 10, 15 years ago, 80% of the storefronts were vacant on the first floor. Almost 100% of the second floor were vacant and boarded up. Businesses would stay away from the downtown and really the town as a whole. And so Jason, our founder and CEO, decided to buy a building and he bought it for a dollar. And you think that's a low barrier to entry, right? A dollar. Anybody can buy a building for a dollar, but you've still got property taxes and maintenance and the despair that these properties were under. It took a lot of capital to bring them back up to par and to local building codes. So, you know, we went from one building to the next, buying them for a dollar here, maybe a dollar there. But as that continued to grow and that momentum grew, that price tag continued to grow as well. So we'd hit some for $10,000 or $50,000. But we're injecting anywhere from $200,000 to $1 million of capital into each one of these buildings. But by doing so, we start to recruit tenants, businesses, whether it's a restaurant or a retail shop, a specialty retail store, kind of you name it, to build out little neighborhoods in our community and in our downtown.
How big is the downtown of Belle Fountain? Is it multiple streets or what do you consider downtown?
Yeah, so we've got a main street and it's about four blocks, spans about four blocks. We've got West Columbus, West Chillicothe, East Court. And that's basically our downtown. It's really walkable, which makes it a lot easier to develop. When we try to strategically place our retail next to our restaurants to support one another, then our professional services on a specific street, makes it much easier for the pedestrian to find the locations that they're looking for.
Do people live right in those four blocks too, or is it mostly retail?
Yeah, so we developed 43 loft apartments above some of our properties. So we do have some workforce housing for our restaurants. Those are more your affordable, I like to call them B-level class finishes. But then we've got some more premium finished apartments for, say, some more professional tenants and businesses.
Do people who live in Belle Fountain live and work there, or do they commute to the 40-some miles to Columbus, or is it, run the gamut?
Yeah, no, great question. A majority of the people that live downtown work downtown. We do have a few work-from-home tenants. But that's kind of going on the wayside. We had one that worked at Nationwide. She was a wonderful tenant, but after her work from home time ended, she decided to move back towards Columbus. But a majority of our tenants, yes, they do live and work downtown, whether it's at a retail shop. We've got local doctors, lawyers, and different entrepreneurs as well that live with us.
So this is what the business does. So Small Nation goes into a small town and basically figures out what can be done to revitalize the small town. What's a starting point for that project?
Yeah, getting local buy-in, finding local leaders and local entrepreneurs that really are passionate about their community and want to see it better and want to see it revive. Without that, you could buy all the real estate you want, but if you're not passionate about what you do, it's not going to last long. So getting the local buy-in and then getting feedback from different community partners. What does the community want to see, right? Belfountain has made a name for being a travel destination location, but not all communities can do that. Some are hindered by geography and things like that. So we really want to tap into the pride that a community has and what is your weird. We use that term a lot, but what is the weird of the community? So Belfountain is the shortest, the highest, and the oldest. We've got the shortest street in America. We're at the highest point in Ohio, and we've got the oldest concrete street in America, and we really play into that. And so when we go to a community, we try to find what their weird is, and then we go through the buildings, we crawl through the attics and the basements, and we find out what's wrong with the building. We work with professional architects and engineers to determine what the scope of work might be to renovate that building, and then we give recommendations on what the highest and best use of that building might be.
The smallest street? What does that mean?
Yeah, the shortest street.
The
shortest street in America, McKinley Street. It's 14 feet long. It used to be the shortest street in the world. I believe somewhere, someplace, somebody beat us out, but we are still the shortest street in America at 14 feet, 7 inches, I believe. And we put
How is it a street? Are you just because you called it one?
Yeah, I didn't call it that, but somebody named it a street, McKinley Street. It really is. It's no longer than this studio right here.
Okay. Does someone live on McKinley Street?
No, it's right off of the railroad. So we used to be part of the big four railroads between Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, but also St. Louis. And so we were a stop for the major transportation area. And that was just a little strip right off of the train exit.
Okay. And then, so you said the shortest street, and then you also said the, what about the concrete?
Oldest concrete in America. So George Bartholomew in 1891 mixed clay, wheat, and marl to create concrete. And at the time, the city made him take out, I believe it was a $5,000 bond for 50 years because they didn't believe it would last that long. And 200 years later, people still drive down the first concrete street in America, and it was made in Belfountain, Ohio.
Okay. Well, that's a random claim to fame.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it still the original concrete street?
Yes.
It lasted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that's what concrete does.
It does. There's a few repairs, but majority of the street is still original, yes.
Got it. Okay. And then what was the third thing you said? The highest?
The highest point in Ohio is at Campbell Hill, which is in Belfountain, right at the tip of the east side of Belfountain.
Okay.
So we're 1,600 feet in elevation, 1,640, I think it is.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about how Small Nation in Belfountain is revitalizing small towns. With us is Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager with Small Nation. So you said that you have to embrace the weird, but does every small town have the first concrete street in America? Like, does every small town have their thing?
I think everyone does. Everyone has their own identity, their own uniqueness. We've gone to different communities, and Circleville, for example, has the largest pumpkin festival in the nation. They need to embrace that weirdism. Bryan, Ohio, they are the largest manufacturer of candy dum-dum suckers or candy canes in the world as well. And so embracing those different weirdisms, we went to West Des Moines, Iowa, and worked with that community, and they have their own weirdisms. And so it depends. Are you a football school? Are you a do you have a lot of history in your community with regards to Civil War or Native Americans? There's a lot of different ways that you could define it as weird, but really it's what makes you unique, what makes your community, and then really just doubling down on that.
So Small Nation, we described you as a real estate development company. You explained buying all of these properties along the main streets in Belfountain. What else do you do besides buying property and fixing it up?
Yeah, so the favorite thing that I do besides buying the property and fixing it, which is actually really fun, is working with the tenants, business development. So my job is to recruit and retain tenants. My goal, and I truly believe this at the end of the day, is to allow somebody to live their dream. Business owners have a dream of starting a business. We try to find them the right location. And so we're not your typical landlord that says, hey, I've got a lease in a place. If you want it, give me $1,000 a month. Here are the keys. Good luck. We really work with tenants from the start to the finish with their branding, their logo, their design of the space. And then we try to usher them in with a press release that we do, and we fund all the photography, the write-up of that press release, the blogging of that, but gives them an additional push at the beginning of their lease with us. And then we work with them throughout the term of their lease and beyond on business development. So a tenant may call me and say, hey, Kane, I've got this idea. I'd love to run it past you. And so we'll set up a time to meet, whether it's coffee, they come to my office, I go to them, and we chat about what their idea is. I give them feedback. If I'm not the guy for the job, if I don't have the right answers, maybe I take that feedback back to my marketing team or my real estate team, and we continue to have those conversations until we see that dream come to fruition.
From theaters to courthouses to businesses, there are some impressive old buildings in Belle Fountain that have been around for more than a century. How have these types of buildings, how do they fit into a small town revitalization?
Yeah, so we do our best to maintain the historical integrity of these buildings. They're still standing for a reason. They were built really well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the buildings, while in disrepair, had really good bones. And so our job is to fix those up and maintain that historical integrity, but also bring them up to local codes and modernize them a little bit, whether it's with some technology on the inside or some paint colors. But how that fits is, you know, we're a small town again, and so we're not always looking for the newest thing. We want to reuse what we've already got and make it a little better, make it functional, and make it safe.
How do you balance the historic preservation and the desire for new and modern? Because some people like the new and modern look.
Absolutely. It depends on the business and the business model and what their goals are. But also, we work with Callie Lange with Revival Design Studio. She is a award-winning architect and interior designer. She's won a lot of awards for historical preservation. And so she really advises us a lot on what we can do, what we should do. And then we get that feedback from the tenant as well to get what their goals and aspirations are long term.
Are there any concerns from these vitalizations from small towns that it's a form of gentrification? You know, the people who lived there can't afford to live there anymore because all the prices have gone up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, that's a term that's thrown around a lot and a concern that people have. And our goal, again, is to make affordable locations. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got what we call workforce housing, still very nice, clean, safe, and affordable. Because if you don't have dishwashers, you don't have a restaurant, right? If you don't have servers and line cooks, you don't have a restaurant. And those people need an affordable place to live. At the same time, people that have the capital and the bandwidth to pay more, they might want a little bit nicer things. And so we try to serve both sides. And when it comes to commercial, we've got different properties at different levels. So the Main Street Marketplace is our incubator space. So if a small business comes in and they want to start a business, but maybe they can't afford that Main Street location that's $3,000 a month and all utilities and all the insurance that comes with it, but they can afford $500 a month, all utilities included, we've got a space for them as well to test their business model out. And as they grow and get bigger, they can move out and incubate out.
How is Small Nation paying for all of this? I mean, you mentioned that you bought some buildings for a dollar, but then you have to put $2 million into it to fix it up. Where's the money come from?
Yeah, so Jason Duff, our founder and CEO, he started cutting his teeth in the industry in Lakeview, Ohio, where he's actually from, which is about 15 minutes northeast of Belle Fountain. And northeast. He started there, and he also started a billboard company. So that's the bread and butter, billboard and storage units. People always want to store their hidden gems and their treasures.
Their junk.
Well, you know, you can call it that. And so another man's junk is one man's treasure, right? Storage units and billboards are one of the funding sources that helped us get off the ground. And now it's just continuing to get better at our renovation process and how we can cut and save costs and value engineer these properties.
What kind of feedback are you getting from residents? I mean, do you need to convince residents to get in on your vision? Do they want the town to be like it looked, you know, before, or are they all into this?
You know, I'd like to say it's 50-50. Some days it feels like it's 60-40, one way or the other. We get a lot of good local feedback and buy-in, but there's always people that say, hey, it was better this way. And, you know, to that, it's you can't really convince people like that that maybe the way that we're trying to do it and make it better is better. That's their belief, and that's okay. They're allowed to have that belief. But we do have a lot of good local support. I'm a local youth football, basketball, baseball coach. I kind of coach it all. And so I get to hear from the ground what parents and people in our community think. And overall, it's a positive feeling of momentum and where we're at, because people remember the crime, the blight, the disrepair. Our community was a drive-through community, right? Mm-hmm. You would just drive right through it. We've got a few stoplights, but nobody wanted to stay and come visit us. Nobody would come to our football games and or really do anything with our town. And now that we have, you know, brought it up to par, people want to come and spend time. There's a lot of really cool things about our community.
Yeah, you grew up in Bell Fountain, yep. You said. So yeah. This revitalization is personal. What has it meant to you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing opportunity to work for this company. I remember, and I tell this story to people all the time, I grew up on the west end of town, and I would walk to school. And I would walk to school, and it was almost like an old western. There'd be tumbleweeds and trash rolling down the street. There was no energy. And as a young man, I think most young men may feel like this, but I wanted to get out of my hometown and go experience life. And I did. I moved off. I went to college, lived in Bowling Green, worked in Toledo, you know, and I've traveled around the United States. But when I came back to town a few years later, it had been 4 or 5 years later, there was some momentum rolling. We had 600 downtown and Brew Fountain. And at first I was a little apprehensive, but as I opened my eyes and renewed my lenses, I realized it's a pretty good community to live in. The crime was a lot lower. There were things to do. And I'm happy to raise a family, 3 boys in that community now.
Staying with us is Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager with Small Nation. And coming up, we're going to talk about how Small Nation is taking businesses from incubators to brick and mortar stores as a part of its small town revitalization. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Here in Ohio, the town of Bell Fountain has become a model for revitalizing small towns, due in large part to the work of real estate development firm Small Nation. They've brought new life to once vacant buildings and businesses, like the Brew Fountain Tap Room, and are being named the best in the state. We're talking about this organization and how they're helping small towns think big. One way they're accomplishing this is by being a one-stop shop for small businesses. Still with us is Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager for Small Nation. Thanks for being here, Kane.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And joining us now is Jessica Epley, owner of Triple Moon Design, which has gone from incubating business to a brick-and-mortar store with the help of Small Nation. Welcome to All Sides, Jessica.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Can you describe Triple Moon Design? What does your business do?
So we focus primarily on creating experiences. I think we're best known for our candle bar, where you can come in and make custom candles. But we have all kinds of workshops, and our goal is always to give our community a space to come together and make memories.
So I said that you started as an incubating business, and Kane mentioned what that meant for incubating. Can you describe what it meant to you? What did you start as, like a little booth or?
Well, actually, yes, I did. I was I was doing a lot of little markets and things like that. And I just got tired of traveling around. Mm. So what that means as an incubator, they had a really tiny little shop in our marketplace. The rent cost was affordable for someone just starting out and wanting to try. And Kane convinced me to jump right in. They just made it available, affordable, and took care of all the hard parts so that I could focus on my business.
Tell me about how Small Nation helped you grow. What was that process like?
A lot of encouragement. It can be a little lonely going through this kind of journey. So they let me bounce ideas off of them. They've given me wonderful opportunities like today to get the word out about my business. They do a ton of marketing for the city and just bringing downtown walking traffic through, which automatically helps my business.
Yeah, Kane, I wanted to ask you about that, about the difference of people coming to Belle Fountain to go to all these shops and restaurants and the bar. Mm-hmm. Do they live there or are they tourists?
You know, I would say from Thursday through Sunday, 80% of our downtown traffic or more is tourism. Through the week, Monday through Wednesday, into Thursday, you're going to get most of your locals. Mm-hmm. But Thursday through Sunday, you're going to get a lot of tourism traffic, and that's pretty intentional. You know, we want to continue to support our local economy, but a tourism economy is something that you can capitalize on and help our tenants and our businesses really benefit. And it shows people why Belle Fountain is a great community to live in and may attract them to come live with us.
How do you market Belle Fountain? Like what am I seeing? Is there a billboard?
Yeah.
Like how do you get someone from Columbus to say, oh, I want a weekend day trip. Why Belle Fountain?
That's a great question. Whether it's from our consulting work that we do, as Jessica alluded to, bringing people to our community from different areas of the state, the goal is that those 10, 20, 30 people go back and tell five people. Mm. And those five people tell five people, and then you get a day trip planned out. We have a lot of marketing materials that we hand out that have day trip itineraries already planned, one of them being Jessica's Triple Moon with the Candle Lab. But it could be as simple as, hey, stop here to grab a coffee. Next, you should go and grab lunch here. After lunch, you may want to go shop here, experience the Holland, experience our putt and play, experience Triple Moon. And then for dinner, you should go here. But we do also have strategic billboards throughout the state. We've got 400 faces from here to Indiana, a lot of them going up 33. And so if you strategically place those billboards with really good ads and really good marketing, people might be inclined to come see us.
Do you have like a slogan or something, or are your billboards saying, come see the first concrete street in America?
Yeah, it could depend. We could have a partner like 600 Downtown, and we can work with that partner on their marketing to say, hey, you know, there was one legalized marinara. That was not ours, but it was really catchy, really funny, and it got people thinking of Belle Fountain. So, yes, sometimes.
Like to go to an Italian restaurant,
is
that what you mean?
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah. So sometimes very fun, funky slogans. Other times it's really good art and graphic content, and other times it's really just doing social media marketing and email blast. We've got a pretty large email list, and we try to get that information about our events and what we have downtown to those folks.
Tell me about the foot traffic, Jessica, for Triple Moon. If it's a really nice, beautiful day, a Saturday, what are you seeing in your store?
Typically on a Saturday, we would have an event planned at least in the morning. So we're already trying to get, you know, 20, 30 people to our place for a ticketed event. And then the rest
like
of,
to make a candle or like what? Tell me that.
We do tons of workshops. So mm-hmm. candle making and paint your own pottery is there all the time. Mm-hmm. But we also do cookie decorating, sewing, crochet, stained glass. Mm-hmm. And we just keep rotating different crafts and arts and stuff. And it's the perfect place to grab your coffee, maybe grab a snack somewhere. We're also in Dora, so you can like walk around and drink, but bring your stuff in and take a class with us. And then you can go walk around, experience the rest of the town. Kane really hit on the marketing that they do, but to experience Belle Fountain, it is more of a feel. It's that small town feel. Like, we're not just walkable. We have like trees and the leaves are falling and the coffee shops. It's romantic. It's like that Stars Hollow feeling that you're just mm-hmm. chasing all the time. That's Belle Fountain. And that's really what makes people come and tell their friends.
Hmm. I have to ask you then about parking. Do you have parking?
We've got plenty of parking if you ask some people, and we don't have enough parking if you ask others. We've got somewhere upwards of 600 parking spots or more in the downtown, a lot of them free and all-day parking. We've got three-hour street parking, but the front door syndrome is real, and it's something that you really can't combat. And I'm not sure if you've ever talked about the front door syndrome on here, but if you
meaning I want to park in front of the front door?
Exactly, right? Or to see the front door. There is something psychological. When you go to Walmart and all the first 40 spots are taken, but you still have to park in the back of the parking lot, you can still see the front door.
Okay.
But you're still walking the same distance as if you parked around the block, but you couldn't see the front door.
Okay.
So we combat that, but I think, you know, the foot traffic speaks for itself. You'll have to come down on a Saturday. All the parking spots will be taken, but you'll find one, and then you'll be able to walk around and see the hundreds of people meandering and mingling and shopping and eating downtown.
Is it all street parking, or do you have parking lots?
Yeah, we've got 9 parking lots in the city. I think 6 of them are either free all-day parking or partially free, so 3-hour parking. And then we've got a ton of street parking as well.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about how Small Nation is taking businesses from incubators to brick-and-mortar stores as a part of its small-town revitalization, with Jessica Epley, owner of Triple Moon Design, and also Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager with Small Nation. So, Jessica, what is it like to have a company like Small Nation handle some of your marketing so that you don't have to worry about it? Or do you partner with them? Do you do some of your own marketing?
I usually try to jump at every opportunity they give me. Mm-hmm. I try to pass out all of the materials that they provide for the city because they're always very well done and very thoughtful. I mainly use social media for all of my mm-hmm. stuff. So not having to even think about downtown guides and maps and stuff like that is just something off my plate, so I can focus more on what we're providing in store.
Are you Bell Fountain born and raised?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So what does this whole revitalization and the way the 4 main streets downtown look, what does it mean to you?
It's been very special. It's pretty cool to have classmates that maybe I hadn't seen for, you know, 10, 20 years, be able to come in and bring their kids in and do something in my space, knowing that when we grew up, there was like one restaurant and a couple of offices and everything else, you know, we had to make our own fun back then. Mm-hmm. And now there's like actually things to do all the time. And it gives us a place to come back together and raise our kids and be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Kane, tell me about the idea of these small businesses versus letting a chain come in. Because I feel like when I was flipping through, there isn't Anytime Fitness. Mm-hmm. So that would be more chain-ish, yeah, if for lack of a better word. But most of it seems like, you know, the mom and pop, the, you know, there's Brew Fountain, the bar, there's an ice cream shop, and it's mm-hmm. not a Grater's, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's not that we are constitutionally opposed to chains coming in. Clearly, we've got an Anytime Fitness, and that was a unique partnership. If we go back in time to when we did the Lofts 110 projects, the more premium projects, Jason CPA at the time said it was his worst investment because it's $1 million to renovate those 6 loft apartments. But what that did was bring investors like Lyle Inslee, who owns Anytime Fitness, into the fold. And as he saw the momentum, he wanted to be a part of that. But we feel, you know, again, being in a small town, yes, people want a Long John Silver's. We do a April Fool's joke on that all the time. But
that's oddly specific.
It really is. If you go on about Fountain in the Know and ask about Long John Silver's,
they want it
bad. I don't know why. It's okay, but not my favorite.
It's those crunchies. Okay, got it.
But, you know, we just really feel that mom and pops, they really embody the small town feel, and they know the customers that are walking in, or they're willing to get to know the customers that's walking in. And I think that's what makes a difference when we talk about the small town feel and the small town charm. I can walk down the street and I'll say hello to somebody and they say hello back even if I don't know them, right? If I walk into a shop, even before working for Small Nation, if I didn't know the business owner, I would know them by the time I left, right? They would know who my kids are. They would know, you know, and the next time I walk in, hey, how is Theo? You know, and that's really special and meaningful to me. And I think that's what makes our community special.
Jessica, tell me about some of your neighboring businesses. You know, what's around you? What other places have had success?
So we do have a downtown partnership, which a lot of our small businesses are a part of, and that helps us collaborate together and host larger downtown events like our Pineapple Palooza, our Extravaganza Easter time, our Pumpkin Walk. We try to come together quite a bit. I'm on the same street with the Flying Pepper, which is a wildly successful Mexican restaurant downtown. Another thing that helps where I'm at is we have a ton of salons locally, so like hair salons, nail salons. It's constant traffic in and out. Tons of coffee shops around. All the good food and coffee and services that are down there help retailers like myself that are a little bit more specialized, where mm-hmm. we're at least getting that visibility and stuff like that.
Can people just walk into your store and buy anything, or do you have to have an appointment for one of those classes?
Yes, we do have a retail section in there, and we take walk-ins when we're open as well. You can also make appointments online, and then we have those ticketed events as well.
Okay. Now, how long have you been in your current space?
I'm coming up on 2 years.
2 years. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I had about 6 months in my incubator space before that, which I experienced like the holiday season flowing out into a January, February for my first small space. And then once I made it through that first 6 months, I was like, okay, I'm ready for street mm-hmm. traffic. And mm-hmm. we found the spot and we were able to move out from there.
Have you had other incubators move like this example?
Absolutely. So a Robin's Nest, which is on Main Street next to Witt's Frozen Custard, 7 years ago, they were in the marketplace. Twig and Feather was one of our first tenants in the marketplace, and they were on the front Main Street, front Main Street facing storefront, and then they incubated out and changed to Nest 1896, which is now in West Columbus and has been there for 7-8 years now. Wildly successful. So yes, we've had a number of businesses incubate out, but there are some businesses that seem to really enjoy it and have stayed there. Shelter Insurance. So our Main Street marketplace is named because we want it to feel like a Main Street, and if you walk through, it kind of looks like a Main Street with small different storefronts. Some of them may stay for longer term, but a majority of them will incubate out and find a storefront to go to.
Have you had mostly successful businesses? Have you had some that didn't make it?
Absolutely. I've had a few fail, and that's mm-hmm. that's life and that's small business. I would say out of those, maybe 3 or 4 in my 4 years are not still standing, mm-hmm. are not still businesses. And I've signed dozens, if not 100, almost 100 leases. So.
Jessica, what would you say to someone who is in another small town listening to this and wishes they had what Bell Fountain had? What can the community do to, you know, make something like this happen?
First step, bring in Small Nation. But I really think that a concentrated collaborative effort with the businesses to bring more traffic in, like those larger events that you could do downtown that benefit everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting ready to open a second location now in Urbana, Ohio.
Wow.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I got a spot like right on the square, right next to the brewery and the wine bar and a bunch of cute little shops. And I think they are at that segue now where everybody that's down there wants this to happen, but they're not quite sure of the steps to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I think the first step is, as small business owners, we do have pretty large egos. So put those aside, get everybody together, focus on that goal of bringing traffic through, making the experience memorable. And I think that's a great way to get started and then worry about the money and finances later.
How close are you to opening in Urbana?
I'm hoping to open the first weekend in October. Oh, so I'm very close.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Jessica Epley, owner of Triple Moon Design in Bell Fountain and soon to be in another location. Thanks for joining us today, Jessica.
Thank you for having me.
And we are also speaking with Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager for Small Nation, who is staying with us. And coming up, we're going to learn how Small Nation is helping other small towns think big. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. What big ideas do small towns need to breathe new life into them? The real estate development firm Small Nation is working to help revitalize small towns that, in some cases, have hit upon hard times. Circleville is the county seat of Pickaway County and known for its annual pumpkin show. It's also looking to replicate the transformational success of Bell Fountain that they're experiencing. Joining us now is Michelle Blanton, mayor of Circleville. Welcome to All Sides, Mayor Blanton.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And still with us is Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager for Small Nation. Thanks again for being here, Kane.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
So, Michelle, what revitalization efforts do you and your community stakeholders, what do you want to see? What do you hope for in Circleville?
Yeah, so a few years ago, I was part of a group called Uptown Circleville. It's our downtown revitalization group, and we just want to bring walkable downtown businesses to our downtown area. And we want to have destinations where people can come. We want people who live in our town to go into our downtown area and not travel outside of our city to shop and eat.
Where are you in the process of working with Small Nation? Are you consulting with them? Where are we at?
Yeah, so we had Jason and the team come in. We are expecting our final report from them. So we are kind of at the end and just waiting for them to come and give us the results of their time with us.
Kane, can you give us a sneak peek then?
Yeah, I can tell you that my team member Ann Donnelly is wrapping those reports up. And I believe last week she and Jason were really putting the final touches on that. So you should have some good outcomes here soon.
So what is there a small town success formula that will work in Circleville?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things that we've done in Bell Fountain can be rip and duplicated in almost any small town and community. Everybody loves good coffee, everybody loves good food, and everybody loves good shopping. And so finding that right coffee entrepreneur that fits the vibe of what you're trying to go for your community, that's a big goal. Goal number one. So if you get coffee and you get a restaurant, restaurants bring people to the community, and then retail helps keep them there, right? So finding a good anchor restaurant tenant, pizza's always great. And when we first launched 600 downtown 14 years ago almost, there were already 13 pizza places in town. We had the Donato's and the Domino's and the Pizza Huts and a few other local pizzerias on the fringes of town, but none downtown. And people said, man, there's already 13. We don't need another one. Well, it's probably the most successful pizzeria in the state of Ohio, if not one of the most successful in the nation.
Mm. Wow. So Circleville is known for its pumpkin show.
Yes.
Right? That's your big thing. Mm-hmm. How are you going to capitalize on that and expand it to more than just one particular time in October?
Yeah, so that was part of the reason that we wanted to have Small Nation come in, is because the city of Circleville does exist the other 51 weeks of the year, right? And so how can we get some of those people who come to visit us during the third week of October for the Circleville Pumpkin Show, how do we get them to come back to the city of Circleville throughout the year? Sometimes that's their first time in our town. Other times they just come back annually for the Circleville Pumpkin Show. But we want them to come back throughout the rest of the year. So honestly, so they don't have to stand in line for their Lindsay's Bakery donuts during the pumpkin show. They can come all year round.
Because they're selling donuts anytime.
Because they're selling donuts all year round. So
Got
they
it.
Can come and get those Lindsay's Bakery pumpkin donuts. donuts.
But are you going to lean into the pumpkin thing? Because we talked earlier, Kane said that if you have a weird, lean into it.
Yep. So we talked about that as part of our evaluation, and we did lean in. And actually, after one of our visits to Bell Fountain, I used the hashtag embrace the pumpkin because it is a staple of our community. There are people who love it. There are people who don't like it. And so it is who we are. We're known for the Circleville Pumpkin Show. And so how can we embrace that the other 51 weeks of the year?
So how would you help them embrace the pumpkin?
Yeah, well, you know, embracing the pumpkin could go as far as the decor that you have up year-round, right?
And well, you have that water tower, I have to say.
We have the water tower.
Painted a big pumpkin, right? Yeah. There are many different ways. But, you know, people go to Circleville, again, as she mentioned, for the pumpkin show. And you're trying to get them to come back for other things. But the recognition of it being the capital for the pumpkin show might be enough outside of the 1 week of the year that they're coming for that show to come back. So embracing it, whether it's with your marketing and letting people know, hey, we're not just the largest pumpkin show in the world, although we have it here, and embracing that throughout their marketing.
Now, I have to admit, I've only been to Circleville for the pumpkin show. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
but that's okay.
So I don't know what Circleville looks like when it's not the pumpkin show, because it was crowded. There were people everywhere. There was lots going on. Whenever all of that is stripped away, what does your downtown look like?
Yeah, so what's really cool about our downtown area is the majority of Main Street where Pumpkin Show is and the majority of Court Street where Pumpkin Show is, that's a historical downtown. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. Mm-hmm. So all of those buildings, they have great facades, great architecture of those buildings. So the buildings that are there, the businesses that are there, they're open all year round. In that same block of area throughout the summer, we have car shows every Friday evening. And so we close off a section of that downtown and just have old cars come in. And then on the day after, on Saturday, we started cruise-ins where people just come down and they cruise Court Street from one end of town to the other end of town. That was started by one of our residents during COVID because we couldn't go out to restaurants or anything like that, but we could sit in our cars and watch as cars drove by. And so those are things that we do during the summer. We have great shops downtown. Some of them have been there for decades, and we have good restaurants. We have a couple of staples, a Mexican restaurant, El Pedregal. We have a new restaurant called the Black Diamond, which is a steakhouse and a tap room in the back. And then some other stores like Christopher's Boutique or Gant's Pizza. We have the bones. It's just getting all of those businesses to work together in one united front to continue to get those missing pieces. What are the identifying what are the reasons that people go to other towns? Is it for the coffee? Mm-hmm. Is it for the pizza at like 600? That's what the downtown looks like throughout the rest of the year.
Kane was telling us about Bell Fountain having a lot of empty buildings, and he was able to buy some of them for like a dollar and that kind of thing and renovate them. Do you have empty buildings or is it occupied?
No, so we have a pretty good occupancy rate right now in our downtown area. Mm-hmm. We have some turnover sometimes with businesses that don't make it after a certain number of years, I don't think we have any problem getting those buildings filled. Mm-hmm. We may have a couple of buildings that are empty right now, but they're being renovated for new businesses coming in.
Did you get buy-in from your residents to hire Small Nation? Do they want this?
So I think we had buy-in from the group that started Uptown Circleville because they want our downtown to be a place where families eat, work, play, and live and shop. And so they want to see our downtown thrive. I think our residents want our downtown to be a place where they go as well. We have great attendance at our events that are down there. So I'm pleased with what they – sorry, I'm missing the word – their approval of it.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about small town revitalization efforts with Michelle Blanton, mayor of Circleville, and Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager for Small Nation. What's the population of Circleville?
We have 14,000 people that live in the city of Circleville.
14,000. What did you say, Bell Fountain's population?
14,000.
Oh, so same size.
Yes.
Got it.
Sister cities.
So when I attended Bell Fountain in 2023 as part of Leadership Ohio and did the Small Nation. Small Nation was the sponsor of that trip, and we walked through the downtown, and I walked away like immediately knowing I would like to have these people. And I joke with Jason and Kane and say, I could probably be a good marketing tool for Bell Fountain because I constantly talk about what they've done because they told us their story. I could see it. Mm-hmm. You could see the product of their labor. And so I talk about it and I said, okay, I want you guys to come to Circleville and I want you to look at what we have and give us some recommendations. Yeah. And so 2 years later, after I became mayor, we started that process. And here we are today.
Do you have special money set aside to be able to hire Small Nation and do the things?
So I had to I had to ask for city council to appropriate the money to have Small Nation come in. And we did. And they did.
Okay. Yeah. There's money there somewhere. Yeah. And it's, you know, so tell me about what you tell people about. It's going to be money well spent. When you tell them about what you saw in Bell Fountain, what do you say? Like, what, you know, your 10-year plan. What do you see?
Yeah, so we have a lot of growth going on in Pickaway County, not just in the city of Circleville, but our entire county. And so that's going to mean more people that are going to be able to come to our downtown area. So what can we do now to prepare for all of the residents that are going to be coming into the city of Circleville? And using a plan like this, as leaders, we want to use a plan. We want to say, this is our focus. This is how we're going to get to the results that we want. And so having Small Nation come in and kind of give us that guidebook of how to achieve that has been critical for us. And that is how we're going to move forward.
Kane, tell us another success story. You mentioned earlier in the show, you mentioned you like rattled off a few other cities. What's another city you want to highlight?
Yeah, Bryan, Ohio would be probably our largest case study.
Did you go see them on your tour too?
I did not see Bryan, but our city planner is actually from Bryan.
Okay.
So we have a firsthand knowledge.
So where is Bryan?
So Bryan is going to be west, like right on the border of Indiana and Ohio. And it'd be northwest of Bell Fountain. And Bryan, Ohio, this quaint little town, and it's known for, and I think we touched on it earlier, the largest producer in the world of dum-dum suckers, Spangler dum-dum suckers, as well as candy canes. And when we started working with Bryan, they said, well, we don't want our community to be about the candy and the suckers.
I hope you said why not.
Yeah, because we're like, well, this is easy branding, easy marketing. Come live the sweet life in Bryan, Ohio, right? And so we worked with the city and the community to paint their water tower in the light of dum-dum suckers, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first visual you get when you roll through town. They also took a recommendation to create a kids' museum. So almost like a Willy Wonka's chocolate factory of candy, and that was really special. And then really just diving deep into, again, what their weird is, what their unique is, because they are a sweet, quaint little town, and why would you not lean into that?
Do you have ideas of how you want to lean into the pumpkin more?
I don't.
Okay, that's why you're waiting for Small Nation to give you the ideas?
Well, I would say one way we did that is when I became mayor, I wanted our signs coming in. Some of our signs that say City of Circleville needed to be replaced. And so what we did is we put Winky, the bumpkin that is the marketing piece for Pumpkin Show. We got the license to use that. And it's now on all of our city signs as you're coming into town from all of the different directions. And so that was one way that we've embraced the pumpkin. And then just thinking of I've only been mayor for almost 2 years now. And so just thinking about what we do on a daily basis or monthly or yearly basis that we can kind of embrace that. And the Pumpkin Show has been great. It is its own 501c3 nonprofit. And so they aren't tied with the city in any way. And so working with their president and their executive board and team trustees to kind of create that partnership is going to be critical as well.
And do you feel like the businesses that are downtown, I'm not sure if they love the pumpkin show or if it's like, you know, a parking nightmare for them. But is it, do you think that beyond that, they will want more events, maybe like a smaller scale, but like mini pumpkin show type events throughout the year?
Yeah, so I think your businesses that are retail or food are going to, they have spots that they get on the pumpkin, on the street during pumpkin show. Your title companies, your salons, those businesses may not. But if there are just events where the streets aren't closed and it's walkable and you can drive and park downtown and still get around, then yes, I think they would embrace that that traffic that they would get.
Well, you're going to have to come back after you get your proposal and you implement a few things.
Yeah.
And I want to find out more about how you're going to embrace the pumpkin.
Great.
I want to thank you both for your time today. Our guests have been Michelle Blanton, mayor of Circleville. Thanks for being here, Michelle. And Kane Strickland, leasing and property manager for Small Nation. Thanks for being here, Kane.
Thanks for having us, Amy.
Thanks for having us.
And if you missed any of today's show, you can listen back at WOSU.org/allsides. You can subscribe to our podcast, and every episode is in the WOSU mobile app. Also, be sure to like our show on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @allsidesWOSU. This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News.